Sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall, on the second Sunday in Lent, March 16th, 2025, entitled, It's Good News, Repent. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at christchurchcathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton podcasts on the web. Or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, TuneIn Radio, or Podchaser podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. So in the gospel, it appears that the warning of the Pharisees is unique to the gospel of Luke. The lament over Jerusalem is also found in the gospel of Matthew. What's interesting is why Luke adds the warning in such close proximity to the lament. Luke writes, "Some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.'" How often our assumptions color what we hear from Scripture. How often do we assume that the Pharisees were a homogeneous group, all with similar political views, depth of commitment, politics, or ideology? That's an assumption we cannot and should not make. I was reminded this past week by one of our number that it's wrong to thoughtlessly assume we all share similar political views. In these days of significant political turmoil, it would do us all good, I think, to hold in check the careless expression of political opinion. It just divides us, and it makes those who disagree with us uncomfortable. And I see that applying perhaps most of all and first of all to me. But making assumptions can lead us down paths and to destinations from which it can be difficult to return. If we don't read Luke carefully, we might miss that he says, "Some Pharisees said to Jesus." It was not all the Pharisees that saw fit to warn Jesus about Herod. Some obviously saw danger for him. Others may have welcomed efforts to silence him. It's not unreasonable to think that some Pharisees were sympathetic to him. Still, others could easily have been standing on the sidelines waiting to see if what was happening with Jesus was actually from God or not. The Pharisee Nicodemus, John's Gospel tells us, met privately with him. And John later reports that he is very much involved with Jesus' burial after the crucifixion. So I'm not sure why we assume that the times about which we read in Scripture were any less complicated than our own. In fact, in many cases, they were much more so. And that's part of what often makes reading and interpreting the Bible such a challenge. Luke 13, 31 to 35 highlights the multiple cross purposes between Jesus and the day in which he lived. Jesus laments over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets. And like those same prophets, Jesus was up against the powers that be. The religious establishment, the church councils, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the occupying Roman forces, the client king of the day. And like a mother hen, he would have gladly gathered his brood about him, but they refused protection. And you know, where chickens are concerned, foxes are one of the major predators. But there are other dangers as well. Fire is another one. A news story once told about a ruthless farm fire where several chicks were found miraculously alive amidst the rubble of a barn, hiding safely under the wings of the burned and charred body of their mother hen. There's safety there. And Jesus' mission is to save. His message was prophetic. Repent. Prophets of old had warned and wailed over wayward Jerusalem, wayward Israel, and they were killed for it. Expressed here is the longing to protect, to save from the enemy. And the enemy may be one using power unjustly, may be the one complacent, or even complacency itself. During the War of 1812, it's reported that Commodore Oliver Hazard Perry sent a message after the Battle of Lake Erie. It read, "We have met the enemy and they are ours." A Pogo cartoon in the 1970s later quoted, "We have met the enemy and he is us." And it's so true, we can be our own worst enemies. We can say, "We have met the enemy, and it is us." The enemy is whatever isolates us, separates us from each other and from our God. The enemy is sin. And that perhaps is the Lenten call with which we are most familiar. Lent is a season of honesty and confession, repentance, and turning around, which is what the word repent means, to turn around. And we often get that wrong. Repentance is not a feeling or an attitude. To repent is not to regret wrongdoing. To repent is an action, and it literally means turn around. The Protestant Reformation of the 16th century brought with it many critiques that led to needed reform of Christian religious faith and practice. Along with that was a renewed emphasis on heartfelt and sincere confession, adherence to an understanding of Scripture as the Word of God, the need for personal responsibility and first-person participation in faithful living. As is often the case, with wholesale and sweeping change of any kind, there's always the danger of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And of all of the Christian denominations, what makes the Anglican Church unique, I think, was the valiant attempt to bring necessary reform to recover the historical Christian faith without leaving core values and practice behind. But one of the casualties of the Reformation may be related to a misinterpretation, a leaning toward thinking that faith of the individual is at the expense of the community. Healthy communities are not just conglomerates of like-minded people. Focus on the individual makes it easy to overemphasize judgment. And once we realize we're not so different from everyone else, judgment can often eventually turn into judgment of ourselves. And faith is not just about us. It's certainly not just about how we feel. Repentance is not a feeling. We do repentance. Turn around and go in a different direction. And evidence of Reformation leanings are clearly embedded in our historical liturgical texts. And I think many perhaps misinterpret the definition of repentance, and in that light, it makes our own liturgical texts difficult. Thinking somehow that the purpose behind them is to cause regret. There's danger if the Book of Common Prayer seems only to be calling us to wallow in our own sinfulness. It could seem as if we are being instructed to feel nothing but unworthy. We do not presume to come to this thy table. We confess our manifold sins and wickedness. Most grievously committed by thought, word, and deed, we are not worthy. We have strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. There is no help in us. Now, to an extent, that was language of the day. But there's also an opportunity for some misinterpretation going on there. Because if we hear the prayer book insisting, as many often do, that we are to woefully regret who we are, then I think we're hearing it wrong. Because the words are invitation. They are a call to repent, to turn around from the ways that come far too naturally to us. And they do come naturally. We are being called to be conscious and aware that fallen human nature causes us to wander away. We're not worthy by our own merit, it is true. But God makes us worthy. And that's the good news. But without intentionally walking in God's way, we don't. For humans, from the playground to the largest business corporation, selfish individualism is our go-to. Minds set on earthly things, and our end is destruction. So without vigilance, without effort, without repentance, we can't be what God would have us be. The God who made you and me built us from the ground up and knows what you and I are capable of. Capable if we but love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God. Love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with God, as one of the prophets once put it. What we're capable of with the power of God working in us is infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Our citizenship is in heaven. St. Paul told the Philippians. So the good news is always we can change. Jesus pauses on his journey to Jerusalem and takes time to weep over his beloved. Today, he may well also weep over us. How often have I desired to gather your chicks together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. He doesn't insist on perfection. Rather, he demands repentance. Turn around and turn away from that which comes all too naturally. Though Jesus' words reveal a longing, maybe even a sadness, they are not about impossibility. The only bad news is ours. The good news is that his belief in us is greater, quite often, than our belief in ourselves. We need not remain in our sin. We can change. We can repent.
Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit ChristChurchCathedral.com. Send us a message by email at office@ChristChurchCathedral.com. Or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon at 506-450-8500. we'd be pleased to have you visit.